This is the 7th of November 1995 and I'm Valentina Bold. I'm about to interview Mr. Godbold of Coombs Ford near Stowmarket, Suffolk, for the second time about his memories of going to the cinema in the 1930s.
They do help you somehow, don't they?
Well, yes, very much so. Yeah. I'm not sure if I was saying before, but we're hoping to do a book about cinema goers' memories.
Yeah, like a lot of these university exercises don't come to nothing. Well, you know, after they get some marks for doing it and different things, and that's all you hear about.
Yeah.
We had a girl which is some relation to us come down here with the army, and we never heard any more about it, you know. And
it's a shame when that happens. I think when
that's not on yet, is it?
I've just put it on just now. So
tell me when you put it on.
Right. That's us now.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean as I say, I was very interested by what you were telling me before, and a number of questions occurred to me after I'd left.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them was, you mentioned a whole range of stars that you liked, and people like Ginger Rogers,
that's
for instance.
Right. Yeah.
And
well, I got the range of stars in the various category. I mean, like gangster films, you see, they were the ones I liked. And that Ginger Rogers would come in the musicals.
Yeah. Because...
Hear me out, darling.
Oh, shh. I was wondering, from what you were saying, if there were particular qualities you liked in a film star. Things that attracted you generally?
Well, that's hard to say, really, isn't it? I mean, when you're young like that, the Toyn Carson thing of George Raft would sort of take you in them days, but today you wouldn't sort of... You might think that's foolish, I mean.
Yeah.
You see.
So you think you're taking...
Really, the old gangsters, when they're played now on TV, seem laughable, you know. I'm going to take you for a ride and all like that, you see. But I was serious at that time.
That's interesting, because it sounds, from what you're saying, that your tastes in film changed quite a lot from...
Oh yeah.
When you were a young...
Yeah. You see, you never saw any blood, and if anybody was shot, but today it's all sort of gory blood and all that rubbish face and all that. Mm. I mean, you get that in Casualty on the BBC, don't you? They show, but the Hayes office wouldn't allow anything to... It wasn't so dramatic, really. Somebody got shot, you never saw any blood or anything, and, you know, that's it, you see. The Hayes office wouldn't allow a lot of blood and gory in them days, but they do now.
Did you find these gangster films quite believable when you were watching them then?
Oh, yes, they were so believable that the Hayes office had to step in, didn't they, and say you're glorifying gangsters and that, you see. And then they made the G-Men series of films where the G-Men always won. As they say, the gangsters didn't go on very long, you know. It was a very, very short time, really.
So would you say then that the gangster films were your favourite films then, or...? Among your favourites?
Well, among them, westerns were just as good in them days, and but we used to like gangsters quite a lot, you know. It was I don't know why you're young and impressed by all this sort of stuff. And I know my friend used to wear a dark shirt and tie like the gangsters, and when he'd come out the cinema, he used to strike a match under his fingernail just like they did. And he was holding the door once for somebody, and as soon as they got there, he let it go, you know, sort of thing like a gangster would do. That impressed them. That's what I think today, whether, you know, a lot of things you see on television impress the youngsters today. You don't know, really, do you?
Yeah.
They say that don't, but I think it do, you know.
Because I was very interested by what you were telling me about that you liked the dance films and you enjoyed dancing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that part of the appeal, watching it, doing things that you could do yourself, or...
I used to try tap dancing and that afterwards and that, and the boys used to say, you know, come on, Jim, you know, do a little bit of tap dancing. you try to imitate the people, don't you?
Mm.
In them days, yeah.
Because I brought along a couple of books that I thought you might be interested in after our conversation of some of the stars.
I
thought you might like to see these.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stars that you mentioned are obviously in this.
Yeah. I wonder where somebody had this years ago, didn't they?
That's right, yes.
£10.
We bought it.
Huh?
We bought that for the project.
But
somebody's had a lot of pleasure out of it, I'm sure.
Because this would only go up to a certain year, would it?
That's right.
So
yeah.
you wouldn't have to. It's Dana Durbin, isn't it? Errol Flynn. Yeah, it's very good, isn't it?
Were you interested in the lives of the stars?
Oh yeah,
at the time?
Yeah, there used to be, excuse me, there used to be several books come out every week, you know, for film girls and that. Just like the books on hi-fi and things today, and we used to buy them. They used to be quite. Good books, because that all comes from the star system, from what Hollywood built up in them days, you know, and they were very strict on what the stars done in their private life and that, you know, so it didn't belittle the film industry and that. If they got married, they had to ask permission and all this sort of thing, you know. And they had these women, what's her name, Greta somebody, who used to go around and see the stars, and she'd lapse on anything which they thought was immoral or anything. And so they had to be ever so careful, you know, in them days. Yeah, Fred Astaire here.
Because I was interested as well when you were telling me about the English films and the American films and how there was quite a difference.
Yeah, well, they were. Well, we used to say they were corny. They were, really. I mean, they wouldn't accept them in America, you know. They wouldn't put them on the circuit because they want so classy as the American ones. Well, America invented films, really, didn't they? They went there donkey's years ago and they set up the star system and the studios and everything. But we didn't have the expertise as them and that. We didn't... one or two films were not too bad, like 39 Steps and that I don't think they were accepted. If the Americans wanted to make a film which was something about England, they they brought the star over here and finished it in Hollywood. A Yank at Oxford was made by Robert Taylor, and he came over here to make it. But they wouldn't accept our films, really. They weren't good enough. They weren't even in the B class, you know, B class.
Do you think that had something to do with the system you were just telling me about in America? Do you think that where they were sort of supervising the stars, do you think that had an impact on the sort of films they made?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, they didn't want any scandal and that, because they glorified these stars. And you know, it was a good idea, really, to have the star system. And women, they were on a big contract, and they had to do what the studio said, you see. Sometimes the studio was ruthless, you know, but that was all for the best, I think, really, when you think about it. Because the Hayes office, as I said, was very strict, and you couldn't be shown a man, even a married couple couldn't be shown in bed. A man could be sitting on the edge of the bed, but not together in bed, you see. And when you look at the films today, when they keep jumping in and out of bed and nearly everything you see, that was a good thing, I think, you know. But what happened was, you see, when the period of the cinema died off about 1960, something like that, when television was, we had television in 1955 here, and they got desperate, so they made a lot of these sexy films and things like that to try and get people back. But now they've gone back to a real decent film, and people are going back to the cinema. Mm-hmm. Did you read where they're going to have where it's only going to cost you £1 on the century next year?
Ah, I saw that.
Yeah,
yes.
And so I think, you know, that's improving. I've been, you know, to some films and with my son, and they've cut out a lot of this sex and kitchen sink dramas and that sort of thing now.
I mean, I'm interested when you say that about the way that life was shown in the pictures. What sort of impression did you form of life in America? Did you think it was different from...
Oh yeah, we all thought that was a great place. And so did the girls during the war who went out with Americans, you know. They all thought they were going to go back to big cars and big houses and that. As a matter of fact, we had several people in Stowmarket married, because we ringed round with American bases, and these girls got married, and they sent photos back standing outside a big house with a big car. But it's not always genuine, because we found out that this chap lived in a shack right in the wilds, and you know. So, I mean, they were impressed by the films, you see, Robert Taylor and all this, you know. But they did, they had more money than us when they come here, and they had better equipment and better lorries and things for the army and that. They were ahead of us, really. We couldn't keep up with them, but the girls got this impression that everybody was got plenty of money in that. Mm.
Do you think it affected your own expectations of life? Did you feel you would like to live like that, or did it not really?
I never really gave it a thought,
yeah.
Really, you see. Yeah.
Because it's an interesting
point. I mean, I knew I shouldn't go there, and I had to put up with what we got here, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it never really changed your expectations of life or anything like that?
No. But we used to see, they had fridges in, when we used to see films in the 30s, and we didn't have a fridge till donkey shears on, and phones and all like that, you know. But I don't know whether everybody in America had, but on the films they all had phones and fridges and everything, which we never had, you know.
It's interesting because it sounds like, from what you're saying, you didn't sort of believe everything in the pictures, or
no, not really. I mean, you knew that a lot of the stuff was facade. You know, they would have a build, and that was only just the front of it. And the actor was looking out the window, and he was standing on a piece of scaffolding. And I say, so you knew that, and you knew that was not real, really. It was a tinsel town, and a lot, and you could see through some of these things, you know. He thought, well, you know, he's probably standing on the scaffold looking out the window, and there's only half of, only the front of the house, and that. That's how they done it. But, so, if he was intelligent enough, you didn't. A lot of girls fell for this. What's his name? I nearly thought of this French.
Oh yeah.
What every girl used to go on. I did think of it when you went. No. But you know, girls thought a sort of a chap like Robert Taylor would come along and take him out of the rut of being in service or something like that. They lived in dream. I think that's what the cinema done. You went there and you forgot all your worries and things, and you lived in a dream world, nice and cosy in the cinema, and you've got any worries and that, you see. And they were very careful not to make you worried. I mean, if a chap went into a surgery, wait to see the doctor, he went in immediately. He didn't sit there with all the coughing people, and that would be so depressing. That wouldn't be very good cinema, you see. So he went and saw the doctor right away, and the girl said yes to see him right away, and that was good cinema, you see. You had to make people live in the dream world, really, and that sort of worked, really. A lot of people thought the world was like that, and like that in America, and everything was nice, and yet they had poverty and unemployment and everything. But I never share that. There was one or two films made, like Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, which did show the unemployment and poverty and that. But They didn't like producing these films, but they were produced. One or two, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how did you feel when you came out the cinema? You're saying,
Oh, you feel refreshed and you know, you had an experience, and you know, you went home and you thought, well, I had a nice night and enjoyed the cinema and you're ready for work the next day.
Mm. I mean, did you feel like that even if the film hadn't been your cup of tea? Or?
Well, we used to have two cinemas, as I told you, and we would weigh the thing up, you see. We'd either go to the old one if Regal had something which we didn't want to see. And so we didn't really go to a disappointing film. I never really went to I mean, if you're cold and you're on a building tray, you don't want to go and see an old English film which was corny and that, you see. So the other one would probably have, they changed twice a week in them days, and you went or you didn't go if that was not up to your liking. If there wasn't one in the town.
So you were quite choosy about the films you did go to?
Pardon?
You were quite picky about the films you
went
to?
Well, yeah, we used to weigh it up, you see, which was best best to go and see. But I don't know, the Regal, I always seem to get the good films, you know, or the gangster or western. Or they say I used to have two films anyway. You didn't didn't think the B film would be much good, but sometimes it was, you know. And then you've got the main one, you see. So you generally got a good mix, you know.
So even if you didn't like one of them, the other one.
Yeah,
didn't.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't, you know, we didn't really expect a B film to be much. Although sometimes that'd be probably a travel film or something like that.
The other thing that occurred to me, do you think that, you know, when you were going as a teenager, did adults go as much as you? Did your parents go to the cinema very much? Or?
Well, mine didn't, but no, they didn't. I know my mate was working on the building trade with me, same age as me, and his father used to like Gabby Haynes in the Western. And he'd go when Gabby Haynes was in a Western. You know, he thought Gabby Haynes was brilliant. You know, my dad never went much. You know, he had a hard life, really. I mean, he was human and in a depression. The depression was at the 30s. You know, and he had a hard job to make a living. If he had a to be able to show him to spare, he'd have a pint before he'd come on. Mm. He'd work in his shop till about 9 or 10 at night, and then have his pint and then come home, or half a pint, whatever he could afford. But he never worried much about the pictures.
Mm. Do you think that was, I mean, you're saying your friend's father went if it was a particular film that he would like. Do you think that was true then of your parents' generation, that they didn't go as much as your generation did?
They didn't go so much as the sons, but when you've got teenagers and people who are just married and all that sort of thing went, you know, so the older people didn't go so much. Although the Regal was always full on Saturday nights, I used to have two houses. And there'd be all big queue waiting outside and that to go in the second house and that. So, you know, they're not all youngsters, they were middle class people and that. Mm. Middle aged people, I should say.
It's interesting because I was wondering about that, if it was something that was, you know, more for teenagers, youngsters. But.
Mm. I think, as it is today, the teenagers have got the money, you see. We had the money, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of it, the average wage was only £2.50 before the war, and people didn't have the money to spare like that. That was a luxury. If they liked a pint of beer, they had the pint of beer on a Saturday night. But, the youngsters had the money if they were in job, and they got full rate like a man, so they'd have the £2.50. That's what I was getting, and you know, you had money to buy suits with and things after you give your parents some money.
Mm. Did you spend a lot of time outdoors in those days? Because I mean, you mentioned cycling, and did you?
You mean in my spare time?
Yeah.
In my free time? No, really. I used to work on the building trade, so I was out.
I suppose that's not so much.
That was enough for me, you see.
Yeah.
We used to go, in the evening, we used to go to dances, you see. Well, one of my friends had a car which was hardly any cars about, you know, and he used to say, you know, shall we run out to, on a Saturday night, shall we run out to Sudbury and go to dance there? And this is what we've done. And now, some nights I used to meet my friends and we'd probably have a drink in the pub and that, you know, that was a fashionable thing to do in them days. The pubs were full and that, you know. As I say, there's no television, unless you went to the pictures or went in the pub, there was much mm-hmm. else to do, you know, unless you took part in some sport, but then that was only Saturday afternoon and you played football. Mm-hmm. There's no sports clubs as we know today, and that indoor, you know, sports clubs.
I mean, how would you, when you say that sort of the range of activities that you did, how would going to the pictures fit into that? Was it one of the most important, most enjoyable things?
Oh yeah, I think that on reflection, that was the most important thing, you know, that we could do really in them days, because they made especially the Regal was brand new and it was so warm and nice in there. And you lived in a sort of a dream world with the yes, that was I think favourite. I'd rather do that and go in the pub. I'd never interested in going in pubs really and that. But well, dancers were all right. If you ran out to another place and when they had a recognised good dance, you know, Ipswich or Sudbury and that. They had them in Stone Market as well.
Mm. What were the main dance halls in Ipswich then?
Oh, I forget now. Mostly pulled down and that. Wow. Now, but there was quite a few. But the other ones in the villages, Sudbury Way, that company. Then. Afterwards, we would go from there and round to Ipswich, and there's an all-night cafe open called Lorraine's, and we'd have eggs and chips, and then make our way home.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you had a lot of
Cursey, fun. That's the place where they used to.
Yeah,
it's very nice. I used to come from Ipswich and all over to Cursey, which is near Hadley, and. Used to be very good dancers there, you know.
It sounds like you enjoyed yourself when you were
going
to all these places.
Well, we were lucky, you see, we had this car, my friend had a car, and I remember once we went to get measured for a suit, and we all had the same material. It was a light suit, so we had dark shirts and white ties. And we went to Ipswich to see a band show, and the stage was here and the toilets were the one side, you see. So at half time we went to the toilet. When we come out, the spotlight went on us. I thought we were members of the band, you see, and all clapped and cheered, and we made our way back to our seat, because that's how we were dressed, you see.
Yeah.
That was, I suppose, the films, what sort of put that in our mind, you know, had this light suit and dark shirt and white tie. Nat Guanella, that was the band we saw, and his Georgians. They, funny enough, were dressed almost the same. so they thought that was us.
I know, because it sounds...
What was in the subconscious mind when we all went and got these suits? Well, three of us, you know, and went and got the same suits, and... I think it must have been in the back of her mind just to look like that, you know. You could buy a suit for £2.50 in them days, made the measure, you see. Mind you, that was a week's wages, so you're talking about I mean, 100, 150, 200 pounds a day, you see.
Yeah.
It's relative, isn't it? I mean, it's funny how money, it seemed cheap then, but that was half a, that was a week's wages, £2.50, you see.
Do you think the films did affect your sense of style then? Or?
I think so, yeah. I believe that TV and films affect people today, especially youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you often see in the paper where this chap had murdered somebody and he got the idea from some film, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, it was the same as Death Wish or something like that, you know. I mean, they do have an effect. I saw one night, I think I told you before, there was this film and this little boy came along with a coin and he scratched the car right across. And I thought to myself, well, hundreds and hundreds of children will see this and they'll be wanting to do the same thing tomorrow.
Mm.
I think, you know, it's bad to show these sort of things, but it's all money in it to get money. They don't care what they show, as long as they get an into Hayes office now or anything to stop them doing these things.
I suppose it's better to be influenced by a film of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
It's yeah.
Not going to put you far wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting though to think, you know, as you say, the ideas that you pick up from watching films and.
Oh yeah, I think we are very impressive when you're young, and you're impressed, especially when you think I lived in a small market town and nothing ever happened, and people just went to work and girls went into service and got half a crown a week and had just one half a day off and that. You've got to think in them terms, you see, and you would be impressed by going to the cinema and seeing how gangsters went about and or Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and all that. It's very impressive and that puts sort of a new heart into you, really, you know.
I suppose it, when you put it like that, it's a whole different way of life that you were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure for most people watching that sort of film, it's
Have you, that's really changing the subject. I wonder, do you still the other people again? Or?
Yes, I'll be seeing some of the other folk again too.
You've got a good last of again, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you were doubtful about? Enlarged on?
I think actually we've covered most of the things that I was wanting to ask you about again. And some more in addition. It's especially as you're saying the way the film's influenced you, I think that's really interesting.
Mm. I'll get my book like that.
Oh!
And that's a better one than that. I don't think this is much more in course brand new than what you've got there. But, I mean, you've probably got that because of the old, but the first part of this is this was £15 that was brought as a present on. We see that the first thing is how they made them, which I don't really and then this is all the old silence and silent ones and that. didn't put it down anywhere.
This is good, History of the Movies.
It's Clara Bow, that was before, well, a member, but that was really before my time. And John Gilbert.
Ah.
He's a heartthrob in them days. Buster Keaton. And a Golden West. Now that is still, no, 1924, you see. The Iron Horse. Dibouche de Pandore.
Was there a chance to see foreign
That's
films?
It's German, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a box, a Pandore's box.
Was there anywhere locally that showed these sort of European
films?
Never
saw any, but they wouldn't entertain them, you know.
No.
You had to go to a special cinema in London.
Oh, I see.
Which dealt with all the foreign films, you know, German. It's the studio system. What I tell you about.
Mm.
But we're not up to anything yet. The Marx Brothers. Now we're getting somewhere.
Oh, you're 39 Steps.
1936, especially. Moment of Fear.
You were saying that that was one that was a sort of exception to the English films.
Well, yeah, but he was English. He went to America, didn't he? But 39 Steps was very good.
Mm.
Released on 1935. Yeah.
Robert Donat and Madeleine Carroll, were these stars that you
liked? He was a heartthrob, you know, for the girls.
Mm. What about Madeleine?
Charles Boyer, that's the French one.
Ah!
He really got girls going, and as I say, I was laughing like anything in front with my brother, and the girls pointed, "Shut up or go out," she said. You're really spoiling their heartthrob.
So they took him quite seriously.
And show you how they made King Kong. Instead of walking on there, they had a plank at the back there.
I see.
You see it now,
yeah.
But in the film, you'd think they were walking on that log, that had a plank. And I'd tell you how that's done. All these are model aircraft looking at. See, I always thought that sometimes King Kong looked ever so small, and then the time he looked big. See, he lifted that up and threw these people off, but they were on a plank, so...
I see.
How they done that, I don't know, it's a... John West, how the West was won with the Western.
Oh, and John Wayne as well. Did you like John Wayne as a?
Yeah, he was good. Nazi Germany, Kings of the Underworld. Oh, Heather Baylor. Scarface.
Ah.
That's the thing what used to get us, you see. Like, get the
is that George Raft there at the
end?
Yeah.
It's George Raft. Left. Edward G. Robinson. Cornered in a back alley.
Yes. Little Caesar.
Where's this one then? That's left. Oh, below. Oh, this one is below. Underworld Silent Run Fire. Oh, that's that. James Gargany Watts helped as his boy, friend, pal and partner in crime. Edward Woods is gunned down by a rival gang. That's here, that one.
Oh.
They used to die ever so dramatically in that. You know, take a long time to fall down and cut on the table. cut all the things off and everything. And it was dramatic.
Wait, was that the appeal? Was it the sort of the drama?
Take ever so many bullets before they. I mean, normally they'd have fell down.
James Cagney.
See, that is after, that's not 39. Here's a Yank at Oxford, isn't
it? Well, Tyrone Power, I think, or Yankee. Oh.
Oh, I thought that was Robert Taylor, but it wasn't. Oh, and that's a Yank in It's a very good book, this is.
It is.
There's John Wayne again, isn't it?
And Cary Grant.
Give you the date, you see, that's the thing about it.
Mm.
And give all the films he made, isn't it? It's Gun for Hire. My wife met Veronica Lake.
Really?
In Stowmarket. Yeah, and Trevor Howard in the Fox Hotel. My wife did.
Well, what were they doing?
Well, they were. We'd come through the town and stopped there for lunch, I think. And they were having drinks. That's when Veronica Lake was getting ever so old, and that she's dead now, isn't she?
Mm.
And Trevor Howard was all lined, his face was lined. She said, nothing to look at.
Mm.
But, well, they have a lot of drink and that. Rita Hayworth. That was made after all.
Mm.
And so was this one, Bridge on the River Kai. Yeah, it's quite, in the westerns again.
Mm.
But as you go up, you see you come into later years.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Astaire and Judy Garland, Bandwagon. It's very, very good book. Mm. Book really. The only first part really is the one which you referred to. On the road path. Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law bought me for this for one Christmas a few years ago. It's quite a nice Christmas present.
Very much so, yes. I'll need to see if I can get a copy of that from the library. It looks very useful.
Well, you can take the name and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, they have it at the library, will they?
I'm sure I'll be able to get a copy of that. It looks very useful.
1988, she bought that. Yeah, tell you how they first made and everything, you see.
Yeah.
Right. It's called The History of... You want to put it down?
I'll just read it on the tape and then I'll get that after.
The History of the Movies.
Yeah.
It's £15 and it's published by... Is that the publisher?
Ah, it must be. MacDonald Orbis.
Mm-hmm.
Edited by Anne Lloyd. Aye, that looks very useful.
Yeah, there's a lot of work went into that.
Yeah.
For £15, isn't it?
Mm. You must get a lot of pleasure out of that as well. It's one of these things you can...
When I'm going to have to do, I you know, read some more up and that.
Yeah.
So it was a heavy affair.
Oh, yes.
give you a heart attack.
100 years in that, though.
If you give you a heart attack, well, this is quite good for the time,
this
you
is
see,
it, yeah.
Because you're getting the 1938, aren't you?
Yeah.
You see, starting through 1938. That's the years you want, really, don't it?
Yeah.
Time of power. Yes, that's quite good. You wouldn't you'd run into 1940 with that,
yes.
You see, but here you've got all the stars of that years, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is that come from a jumble sale or something?
Just one of the bookshops around the university in Glasgow.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they wanted £10 for it.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's about that value.
Yeah.
Especially
I think aren't many of these still around. I think that's the thing.
You couldn't knock them down at all.
No. She'd have tried.
Did you?
Not really, no.
Yeah, it's quite good, all the elves. Fred McMurray, Fred Astaire, Lolita Young, she's nice. Yeah, bring back memories. Now, Valerie Hobson was an English star. But, I don't say much about her. And you watch it when Anne Todd was an English star.
Did you like you talked about getting ideas for suits and from the movies. Were you interested in the way the women dressed as well? Was that
not really? Only interested if they were in a bathing costume. it's quite a good book. Yeah. This was probably taken from a series of magazines, you see?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be? I suspect. That's how the magazines were. They were full of pictures like that, you see?
I think it's actually one of the Daily Express ones.
Is it?
One of their annual books, yeah.
Robert Dinnett. Yeah, it could be, couldn't it? But this is a sort of picture you'd get in the magazines every week you brought, you see.
Yeah.
And tell you about the stars and all like that. They're very careful to say much about their lives because they're all on the studio system and that.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. It's quite good. Goes in there, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They make multiple cinemas now, don't they? 5 screens and that.
That's right.
Yeah, we went once at the Ipswich, me and the wife, because we went up there shopping and we said, well, should we go in? And there was only us and another couple in there, you know.
Oh.
There's a new atmosphere when there's nobody else in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think these, as you say, the ones that are split up and it's a small screen as well, it's not the same as a...
No.
Big cinema.
Yeah. I don't know, the Regal have up here, up the road here, have... Who was that?
I don't know, some Curtis is called.
In double glazing.
Anytime it suits you.
In double glazing, isn't it?
Oh dear. Oh, they're annoying, these.
Yeah, we get a lot from that.
Yeah.
You said the lunch would be 10 minutes.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not something you do much now, go to the cinema. You don't go, it sounds like you don't go to the cinema much now.
No, I just go, I went with my son to see one about the Yanks here during the war.
Mm.
and I forget what it was called. Not long ago. Well, it might have been a year ago, but I don't get. You see, the trouble is, I mean, they have shows on at the Regal as well, and they have, you know, Robert Wolf come on the organ and things like that. But when you come out at night, you walk home.
Mm.
There's quite a number of rough people about, and you know, and it's not really comfortable. Unless, see, when I go with my son, he'd take me in the car, and there's a car park there.
Mm.
And we go back. If I've been to some of these shows, they had a Scottish symphony orchestra. Well, one of the chaps who live in Stanmarket plays in Scottish symphony orchestra, and he brought a few of his mates and just make an ensemble, you know, and. And of course I went to see him because you know, I know his dad. But when you come out, you see, you walk home and these people are right along the path and they don't move out the way enough, you know. And if you said anything to them, it'd be asking for trouble, you know. You just have to dump, and some of them had drink and that sort of thing. That's the same with every town at night, I think, you know, unless you've got a car to get there.
Not so
that's
good,
a pity, really, because I have a lot of shows and which I'd like to go and walk up there. And it's not far up the road after where we were at the bus, you know.
Mm.
Not far up the road, but you can't trust, you know, it spoil the enjoyment of the thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's not so good when you've had an nice
mate. Then again, you see, I mean, you think yourself, you get a cold evening and that, you've got television and that, haven't you, you see. I mean, I know cinema's a lot better than television, I mean, for sound and everything else, but at the same time, it's something. I mean, you've got it there, and you needn't go out, need you? I think that's the thing that stops a lot of people going there. They want to follow different things like Coronation Street and that, don't they? And they don't like to miss these things. We don't know whether cinema will ever come back, really. The youngsters will probably go and that, but don't think it'll ever come back like it was in the 50s and 60s.
Mm.
As I say, there again, you see, television's getting hit by videos and that now. People don't bother to watch, they say it's a load of rubbish. And they're going to get a video of a film, so they are seeing films in a way, aren't they? I mean, all these thousands of people getting videos for the weekend, and they are films in themselves, so in a way, people are going back to films. And then you've got all these channels and that on the television, and that's so much to do and see, isn't there, really?
Yeah. Certainly when you're describing your memories of the 30s and going to the cinema so often, it's hard to imagine someone going as often as you did now.
Yeah, I don't think even there used to be men who were single and they used to go somewhere to go, you know, quite a lot. They'd go and see a film six times and that same one and that. But I don't think they exist today because they'd probably be sitting at home watching television.
Yeah.
And,
or they wouldn't have enough money to go that many times.
No, that is the thing. That's more expensive than that now. That, I don't know what they charge. I think it's but £2.50 for pensioners or something like that.
Yeah.
Look, I'm all dressed in.
Oh,
quick! Take that top one. It's slippy.
Better put your tape.